Well, colorectal cancer is the third most commonly diagnosed cancer and the second leading cause of cancer death in men and women combined in the United States. The American Cancer Society estimates that almost 143,000 people will be diagnosed with it and that over 50,000 will die from colon cancer in the United States in this year alone. And early detection can make the difference between life and death. We'll hear with more on this and a new initiative to save lives through early detection is Dr. Christopher Morley, Associate Professor of Family Medicine, Public Health, and Psychiatry at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Morley. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
So colorectal cancer is still a big killer each year.
It sure is. I think you highlighted some important stats there, and it's still a major health problem in the United States and around the world.
Even though we've been aware of this for so long and all of the problems associated with it and the importance of screening, but clearly it's still a major problem.
That's true. And the more we can screen people, the more we can reduce the problem.
So why is early detection so important here, therefore screening so important?
Well, like many cancers, like most cancers, all cancers, if you screen for an illness, you find it at an earlier stage before it's done things like spread to other parts of your body or begun to grow into adjacent tissue and cause systemic problems. Once a tumor begins to change, it can also become more aggressive and spread more rapidly than if it's found earlier. So finding something at an earlier grade and stage is important to being able to beat the illness ultimately.
And particularly, I would think, in the colon where, you know, polyps occur often that are not malignant, you know, pretty regularly in people. And it's important, I guess, to determine which of those polyps then might go on to become a cancerous one. So I can see why, therefore, the screening is so much more important. There are currently recommendations in place for the American Cancer Society. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. The American Cancer Society recommends that men and women between the ages of 50 and 75 who don't have any symptoms should still be screened for colon cancer.
And that's a full colonoscopy, right?
Well, there are a couple of different options. The American Cancer Society recommends a full colonoscopy every 10 years. And the other options include a flexible sigmoidoscopy, a double contrast barium enema, or a CT scan assisted virtual colonoscopy every 5 years.
That's a new recommendation, or at least it's a new procedure from my understanding. We didn't have that option at one point.
Yeah, it's been more common in the past few years. These, again, are for people who have no symptoms, no precancerous conditions, no familial risk. So the real message is that everybody between 50 and 75, regardless of risk, should have some level of screening, at least a colonoscopy every 10 years or one of these other methods every 5.
And how about people who have a higher risk? How does that change the recommendations?
Well, people who are at higher risk for colon cancer include people who have previously been diagnosed with polyps of various sorts, as well as people with precancerous or cancer risk-increasing illnesses such as ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, collectively known as inflammatory bowel disease. These illnesses increase people's risk for cancer and as a family history. So if a person has first-degree relatives with colon cancer, these people should be more vigilant. Now, the individual person might have a variety of different risk factors, and that's something people should really proactively talk to their primary care physician about what screening regimen is right for them.
So the bottom line is really that every individual really should talk to their doctor and figure out.
Every individual should talk to their doctor because it's something that everybody should be doing.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Christopher Morley, and we're talking about the importance of colorectal cancer screening and a new prevention initiative. So I understand that you are engaged in your department in a new initiative to help promote screening. Tell us about it.
Sure. Well, the title of the project is a bit of a mouthful. It's called the Increasing Cancer Screening Through Academic Detailing and Practice Facilitation Project.
That is a mouthful.
So
what does it mean?
So academic detailing is basically when people from academic institutions go out to practices and bring information to practices in the field. And the word detailing comes from essentially the pharmaceutical industry, when what we would commonly call drug reps would go to doctor's offices and bring samples and bring the physician up to speed about different drugs or treatments. That was called detailing. It was a pharmaceutical industry term. Academic detailing essentially refers to a similar practice when we as academics do it without a profit motive, ideally.
So the mission here is what? Tell us.
So the other aspect is called practice facilitation, which is where you help a practice do something. I'll leave it very general without getting into too many specifics about that. But what we intend to do is to have an outreach program where we send physicians to practices in our community. And by community, I mean essentially the entire region from Syracuse to Buffalo, and bring information about guidelines, about different ways to bring patients to screening, to be proactive, and to different sources for public screening programs, such as health department programs or other places that have been identified by New York State as providing low-cost or free screening services.
So basically you're there to get the word out, is what I'm hearing.
That's part of it. And the other part is that we would like to assist practices in developing what are called patient registries, specifically for colorectal cancer screening. And what that would allow practices to do is to be proactive about identifying patients who are outside of screening recommendations and reach out to them. Because typically what you see is in a primary care visit, the person will be there, and if they happen to be having a visit, whether it's an annual physical checkup or some other reason, it might come up in conversation. Having a registry would allow the physician and their staff to reach out and actively identify people who have not been screened. And there's a variety of strategies, from letter writing, phone calls from a case manager, to then make recommendations, bring the people into the office for a physical and recommend screening, so forth.
So basically, this is very proactive. What you're saying is, in many cases, you rely on the patient to come in for their annual physical and what have you, and it's up to the physician to see that as an important, the colonoscopy is an important part of their overall health care. But you're saying you're going to go out there and try to encourage these practices to develop a way of flagging these people and bringing them in more actively.
I'd even say it's a way of screening your population. Screening your population to identify people who need individual screening for colorectal cancer.
Is it necessary in this case, when you talk about a registry, is it necessary for these practices to be electronic in order for it to work most effectively, or can they still be, I know some practices remain paper chart.
Sure. Paper-based registries or registries developed from paper records have existed for a long time. They predate electronic health record
systems.
Specifically, actually, with not screening, but with actual cancer or tumor registries have existed for decades. And those are things that would have been kept in an Excel spreadsheet or an Access database. And practices could certainly do that. It's a lot more labor-intensive. For the size and scope of this project, we are looking to first partner with practices that have electronic health record systems in place.
Built into those would be the opportunity then to identify and flag patients. Is that the idea?
Exactly. Many, I would hazard to say most electronic health record systems have some innate ability or built-in ability to have a registry turned on. And we use them for different things. We use them to identify people who have been vaccinated. We use them for specific disease categories like diabetes or hypertension. So registries have been around for a while. That's not new. Activating them for the purpose of increasing screening rates is, I don't want to say novel, but it's not prevalent in our area.
Is there a particular population that you're focused on? Because it seems to me one would think that most primary care physicians would be well aware that patients need to have these kinds of, routine exams.
Absolutely. Our primary care docs in this region are great. They are certainly up to speed, and hopefully this will just be a refresher when we do the detailing portion, in addition to making some resources available. One of the things we want to do is identify state resources or state-identified facilities that have that offer low-cost or free screening. And the linking people up with those resources is really important, because across health research, you see disparities that happen because of socioeconomics, because people who have limited access to healthcare or poorer insurance or have lower health literacy, they don't do things as frequently as people who are very actively engaged in their own healthcare, simply because they can be. So we are targeting practices more specifically that are serving underserved populations, Medicaid populations, like community health centers, or simply practices that have a high Medicaid load. That doesn't exclude other practices, but we are focusing on practices that help underserved populations.
That makes a lot of sense. Who's funding this? I mean, where is the money coming from, and where is the initiative really being?
Sure. Well, the New York State Department of Health issued a grant opportunity for us to apply, and we were selected from the entire state. And they're using money that came from the CDC originally, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And we're working within our own practice-based research network, which we call SALTNET, within the Department of Family Medicine at Upstate, which is a loose network of primary care physicians around Syracuse, and we actually stretch up into the Adirondacks and down to the Pennsylvania border. And we're working with partners at the University of Rochester Medical Center and at the University of Buffalo, with practice-based research networks that operate in those areas. We've also partnered with our Upstate Cancer Center that's growing, and Dr. Leslie Coleman has been involved. We are partnered with a consultant from Roswell Park Cancer Institute, Dr. Martin Mahoney, and we're also partnering with area health education centers around the Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse areas to help reach out and get the message.
What do you exactly, I mean, I understand what you hope to accomplish is to get more people into screening. Do you have any baseline stats or numbers? I mean, is this a study in any way, or is it just more of an initiative to just, in a general sense, kind of increase the amount of screening going on?
As a researcher myself, I would not classify this as research. This is really a public health initiative that we're trying to engage our practices with for the good of the public.
So any increase in screening would be a win-win, so to speak.
Absolutely. And we also want to see if these modalities of reaching out to physicians this way and helping them turn on the registries has any effect, and how much effort it takes and how much it costs, to see if we can do more. We may expand into breast and cervical cancer over the next year if this turns out well.
So if this modality, way of reaching doctors, way of reaching patients, works, it really has a lot of potential ramifications.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. I hope maybe you'll come back and tell us more about it down the road. It sounds like a very, very important and interesting initiative. My guest has been Dr. Christopher Morley, Associate Professor of Family Medicine, Public Health, and Psychiatry at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much for coming in.